Lombardi Line is presented by BetMGM. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, the day after Championship Sunday. We say good afternoon to you. Hope you're doing well. I'm Patrick Maher. Hour two from Michael Lombardi there in Jersey. We've got the Nuts following us, the boys. Amal Shaw and, of course, Mike Palm will stop by. A little crossover, which I know you're excited about. We've got Josh Applebaum to join.
Always. So
we've got plenty to do, my friend.
Always. There's never enough Mike Palm in your day. I can't wait to hear his commentary on the games, the officiating, or the lack of officiating. I just think that call, you know, that everybody's making a big deal of. The only thing wrong with that call was the inconsistency within the framework of the call, not the call.
Right. Yep. The inconsistency is 100% right. Now, we talked about this. We teased it a little bit. So let's get into this. Aaron Rodgers was crestfallen after the game. You'd expect it. But the future MVP, and he will be the MVP, he's 37 years old, presumptively will win the MVP. He did sign a contract, I believe, in 18 through 2023. So this idea, yes, they selected Jordan Love with the 26th overall pick. But the idea, because he was crestfallen after the game, that he's going anywhere. I mean, isn't this ridiculous?
Well, I mean, look, he doesn't know. I mean, when you pick a quarterback in the first round and you've got, you know, needs, obviously, in the offensive line, you've got needs on defense, you've got needs at receiver, you had other needs, you pick an offensive line, you pick a quarterback, you're basically saying, hey, you know, we have a huge need. Now, if they maybe picked one this year, different, but I thought at the time it was telling me, and the evidence was backing it up, that Rodgers wasn't throwing the ball down the field. You know, he was averaging 7.1 yards per attempt the last 5 years going into that decision. So I get it. I got the decision then. Now, at a layer. Now Rodgers is playing at his 2013 level. He's been to one Super Bowl. I mean, think about that. One Super Bowl with one of the greatest quarterbacks of our generation. One Super Bowl. Brady's been to as many NFC championships as he has. I mean, really, Rex Grossman has too. How bad is that, right? So, you know, and if you're going to keep Jordan Love on your team for the next 2 or 3 years, and you've got some cap concerns, you've got $28 million over the cap going into this offseason, maybe you decide to trade the guy. You're going to get a ransom for him. He's an older player. You know, you want to maybe beat the market on Stafford. Maybe somebody will give you what they're going to give for Stafford, maybe more. I don't know. I mean, you've got to make a decision because Rodgers is going to walk down that hall. And he's not going to stop at LaFleur's office, nor is he going to stop at Brian Gutekunst's office. He's going to the president's office, a man by the name of Mark Murphy, the man that's behind all of this. The man that changed the resolution of the Green Bay Packers, that moved it from a general manager organization to a presidential organization. Ted Thompson, who died recently, he held all the authority of the Packers in terms of football. When Ted Thompson left, Murphy split the power of the general manager and made the head coach, who used to report to the GM, made them both report to him. So now this is on his plate. This is going to be on his plate, and we're going to see how he handles it. Because if I'm Aaron Rodgers and I'm his agent, I want more money. I'm not the fifth best quarterback in the National Football League. I deserve where Patrick Mahomes is. I deserve to be in that ballpark.
LaFleur, for his part, head coach, of course, Green Bay Packers, his quote was, quote, I sure as hell hope so when asked about Rodgers returning. I mean, the guy's the MVP of this league. He's the heart and soul of our football team. So hell yeah, he better be back. He's our leader. And, you know, just so appreciative of him buying into what we're trying to get done around here, and he's leading that group. So LaFleur saying the right things as far as a guy that is sensitive and Rodgers and wanting to bring him back.
Well, you know, I mean, he is saying the right things, and he should, because 26 of LaFleur's regular season wins, or a lot of it is because of the great Aaron Rodgers and how he plays. I mean, we know when LaFleur gets against, in two playoff games, you can't walk away from the stadium losing to San Francisco and then losing at home to Tampa Bay thinking that LaFleur has got a lot of brilliance as a coach. You think, hey, his offense with Aaron Rodgers? But much like what happened with McCarthy when he lost Rodgers, where would this team be if Rodgers was no longer there? Where would they be, Patrick? You know, can they develop a quarterback? Where are they going to go? Those are questions Mr. Murphy's going to have to answer, and that's going to be hard. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a little bit in that Deshaun Watson category of, hey, I want more money. I deserve more money. I got 26 wins. You hire this young coach. I gave him 26 wins. Where is my coin?
33 of 48, 346, three touchdowns, one pickle yesterday. Played great. You know, again, they were down 18.
Can I say something, please, too? Why would anybody in the media think that Aaron Rodgers is the reason they didn't win yesterday?
No way.
Like, how lazy of a narrative is that? Like, how can you possibly blame Aaron Rodgers for that? The guy sacked 5 times. He's hit over 20 times. Had horrible protection. Horrible scheme protection in terms of how they were going to protect him, knowing the matchups in the game. Like, how can you come on a national radio platform and say, well, you know, this is typical of Aaron Rodgers in big games. Stop that. Stop it. Like, you give up a stupid touchdown at the end of the first half because you're playing cover one. Was that Aaron? Did he make that call? You know, he gives up an interception in the second half. The guy's grabbing the guy. I thought it was a great throw. The guy just made a great play on it. So be it. But then you give up a touchdown because you don't even cover the guy on the goal line play. You don't even have a guy covering him. Is that Aaron Rodgers' fault? I mean, how could anybody? You do this. You're on Sirius after our show. How is that narrative even supported by any evidence?
No, I mean, I wouldn't even point to him to even begin discussing why they lost the football game. I'd point to him to begin discussing why they were in the football game. I thought he was tremendous in the game. And then he distanced himself from LaFleur after the game. I'm sure he saw this, Michael. He was like, look, wasn't my decision when they didn't go for it on that 4th and 8. He said it a few times, not my decision, not my decision. So you know he wanted to go for it there. He was frustrated.
Yeah, I mean, look, he wants to have the game in his hands. And I think this, you know, to me, the decision is always what we react to. And that's what we always react to here in the media. You know, the decision on 4th down, it's just in front of us. But this was a pattern of 3 bad calls before we got to 4th down.
Right.
The 4th down call was accumulation of bad call, was the result of bad calling. There was no thought. It was 3 of red zone plays. And as I've said before, playoff games are all won by 3rd down and in the red zone. You've got to win the red zone if you're going to win playoff games. They didn't have a good red zone plan for what Todd Bowles was doing.
Hey, by the way, you mentioned, and just quickly want to bring this up because there's some uncertainty with Rodgers right now. You've been discussing this. You had a great clip. You can find it at M Lombardi NFL, at VSiN Live on Twitter. Took off like crazy because Michael was awesome breaking down the situation front office-wise and Watson-wise in Houston. Mortensen's reporting that the new coach, that's not going to matter. Watson wants out regardless. Do you think that is true if it is Bieniemy, who I know he likes and had at the top of his list, or one of them?
Well, look, I mean, let's talk about Watson's options, okay? Let's talk about his options. It's not James Harden. He don't have James Harden options, okay? I've heard the same thing Mort said. I talked to somebody in the league last night and said he's fed up with the ownership. That's essentially the problem. And Easterby and who the coach is and the whole process, he's fed up. I get it. I understand it. However, let's hire a coach first. Because that same ownership he was fed up with, he cashed that check. Okay, he cashed that check. Now, what options does he have besides using the media to create leverage? He doesn't have any. He's got a no-trade clause in his contract. We know that. So he can determine where he gets traded to. He could say, look, I'm not going to Atlanta, or I'm not going to Seattle. I'm making it up. But what he can't say is you have to trade me. And if he wants to play football, then he has to honor the contract. He's got to come back and honor the contract. So there has to be some form of the meeting of the minds here. And if they hire Bieniemy, or if they hire Leslie Frazier, who's available for a face-to-face interview today, then give it some time. Let Frazier assemble his staff, and then let's see if there's a way to bridge the gap. Let's see if we can do this, because he is a top five, not quarterback, a top five player in the league. Forget quarterback.
Right.
You got to fix it.
May I suggest couples therapy?
Exactly.
Yeah. They need to sit down and have an open, honest discourse. And Cal McNair needs to be involved, and they need to talk about, they need to get it all out there. It can't be shady behind the scenes.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think they need to really have a conversation amongst themselves. Like, look, and Jack Easterby has to sit there and have an honest conversation. And I've worked with Jack. And I know Jack can provide tremendous, tremendous help to a team. But the role that he's in right now, where players don't trust him, He talks about serving. He can't serve in that role. Nobody wants to hear him serve. He's become the obstacle. Now, they say if he leaves, no one's still going to do that. It's not going to change anything. That's fine. I'm not trying to fire Jack. I'm saying if you truly believe in the creed that I believe in, which is mental toughness is doing what's right for the team, but it may not be right for you, then you've got to remove yourself from the problem because you are the problem. The players blame you for DeSean Hopkins. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The mythology has become reality. When you move from mythology to reality, that's a real challenge. You can't change the course.
Okay, who's he going to take the snap for? Good graphic here. So the Texans are still your favorite. They jumped up, though. They were even money. They're plus 125 now. The Jets, remember, at the top of one of the names at the top of Watson's list was Salah. He's now the Jets head coach. They're 3-1. The Dolphins, no state income tax. Miami, everybody wants to live there. They're 3.5-1. And then there's the Patriots, Michael, at 9-1.
I'm told that the Jets aren't as top. I mean, that's being reported. I'm told the Jets aren't. Okay. I think it's Miami.
Okay.
I think it's Miami. Now, you know, does who likes Tua in Miami, in Houston? I don't know. You know, I don't know. Nick Cesario would have to obviously that do. We're playing this game. You know, maybe they'll trade Patrick Trubisky and get all those picks back for Watson. Do you think they'll make that trade? How's that? How do you think that phone call
is
goes?
Is that going to come full circle? I mean, that is going to be...
Wouldn't that be hilarious? That be hilarious?
If Ryan Pace is allowed to pull that off, dude, we got to get his job security. I mean, that is incredible. One of the great high school players. He still holds records in Atlanta. Excuse me, in the state of Georgia. You know how good the football is in high school state of Georgia? He's got records. I mean, he's done everything at every level. What a joke.
Anyway, you know, meanwhile, back to the ranch. I think, you know, look, do I think the Texans will trade him in the AFC? No, I don't. But with that no trade clause, that becomes a little bit of a problem. They may not have a choice because he can veto every trade.
Right. Hey, quickly, you brought this up a little bit with, and we're going to move on here, but you brought it up a little bit with JVT, and that is Matthew Stafford. He's going to be 33 in 12 days. I've watched every snap of this dude. He has been awesome for the Detroit Lions, awesome for the community. You're getting a grinder. You're getting a dude that's going to play through injuries. Is there a real obviously a real market, but they're going to have to get, somebody's going to have to give the Lions back a first rounder and probably a player as well, right?
No doubt. I think he's going to have a top market. Look, he's still young. He still has great arm talent. He can make every throw. Have they built the team around him that fits what he does well? I would say no to that. You know, I hear he's competitive as hell. You know he's tough. You've watched him.
Yep.
He's smart. Everyone says he's brilliant in terms of how he knows things and what he can handle. So, yeah. I mean, he walks into New England. He walks into Indianapolis. And they legitimately become a contender.
100%.
Now, they got to fix some other things on their team, but he becomes a contender. You know, you're giving up a one for Matthew Stafford. Well, he's 33. I don't really care. He'll play five more years with his arm talent.
Right.
As long as we build the team around him the right way.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, he is, don't let the puffy face belie you. He's in good shape. He's actually a little bit more mobile than you think. He'll pick up a first down with his legs. He continues to do that, continues to stay in great shape. He's gone through a lot with his family. Been great for the community. It's sad to see him go, but it's almost one of those things where bittersweet, but I want to see it happen for him because he deserves it. He's been grinding in Detroit for a long time. By the way, did you see, so we're right now sitting on three, as far as, remember, that Super Bowl, the Super Bowl opened with Kansas City laying 3.5. But we're also, I know we have a graphic for this, Aaron, we're going to be looking at the second highest total. 56.5 right now is the total for Kansas City and Tampa Bay. The biggest total thus far in Super Bowl history is the Pats and Falcons at 58, Michael. Surprised to see, I guess it doesn't surprise you to see a total, a nosebleed like 56.5 here.
No, because I think they're not. I mean, are they gonna impact the game? Are they gonna let them play like they did the conference champ? I'm all for it. Just tell me you're gonna let them play. I'm all for it. Like, I don't want you to mess with it. Like, was there any holding calls yesterday?
There wasn't.
I'm not talking about defensive holding. I'm talking about offensive holding. Did you see any offensive holding calls?
I don't think I saw.
Maybe one
in the Kansas City game. Maybe one in the Kansas City game.
I mean, if you're not going to call holding, then you're going to get points. You're going to get points.
Were you at all surprised to see immediately that go 3.5 to 3, Kansas City laying it? Because that's the Tom Brady text, immediately getting bet Tom Brady here down to 3.
Look, we can say whatever we want. Tampa Bay can score. They've got great weaponry. Their offensive line has played really well. We know they'll move the ball on Kansas City. No, it didn't. I think the hook was important. I think people wanted to take the hook. I think now it'll level at 3 for another week or so, and then we'll see. But the Bucs are a hot team right now. I mean, look, that, you know, I didn't think they were playing to the level that they played yesterday in terms of their ability. And let's be honest here, Patrick. They lost the turnover battle and won the game.
Incredible.
I mean, this is going to haunt Green Bay forever.
It's really a remarkable outcome. 100% agree. All right, when we come back, some alt lines, some alt spreads, first half number on the Super Bowl as well. And let's talk about the fans in the stands down in Tampa Bay and the impact as we continue here on the Lombardi Line. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Presented by BetMGM. I'm Patrick Maher, live from the VSiN studios here at the South Point. Michael Lombardi in jerseys. Now, remember, when it comes to the NFL playoffs, the favorites are 8-4 straight up so far, and the dogs are 7-5 ATS. Now, the road teams are 7-5 ATS as well, and that brings us to the big game, Michael, because the Buccaneers become the first team to host the Super Bowl. So we do have a road team in the Super Bowl, and that is the Kansas City Chiefs there, laying 3 on the road.
You know, I my first NFL Super Bowl in my first year in the National Football League was 1984, and we played the Miami Dolphins, really a home game for us. We practiced in Redwood City, and we played the game at Stanford Stadium, the old Stanford Stadium that held 100,000 people or 80,000 people before they did the remodel. So, you know, that was like a home game for us, and we obviously, I think we beat Miami 38-17. Won the game. We ended up the season 18-1, won the Super Bowl. So the advantages were tremendous. I mean, the Super Bowl was much different then than it is now. But the Bucs being able to stay at home and use their own locker room and have their own facilities and not travel, they can spend a lot more time focusing and concentrating on a truly biggest challenge that they will face all season as they look back. They'll go back and watch the game they played that they really never were in the game, yet they were able to close it to cover or push that game. So, you know, this is a huge step for the Bucs. And I think the fact that we know there's some injuries on the Kansas City Chiefs offensive line, that's going to make a huge difference in this game.
Yeah, of course, Fisher out with the Achilles. I want to get into the first half side in total with you in just a second. Now, we mentioned it's going to be a home game for the Bucs, road game for the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. How about the idea there's going to be 22,500 people allowed to attend the game? We have seen there is some added juice, obviously, with these fans in the stands.
No doubt. I mean, look, I mean, they said that. How many were there? The other week at Green Bay, I mean, it felt like there was a lot more in there.
It felt like 80,000.
When I watched the Kansas City game, I thought there were, you know, it felt like the big red machine was out there, you know. So, look, I do think it matters, you know. But one thing we do know from watching all these playoff games through the year, the quarterback can communicate really fairly easy. There's some noise and there's some momentum, but the quarterback can communicate. You know, when you look back on the championship weekend and you remember the interception, the momentum that was gained, and then they got another interception and they went 3 plays and out. Had that been, I think, with a full stadium, maybe that momentum would have carried them through. And I think that's the part we miss. Sometimes the momentum helps these NFL teams carry them through some adversity.
Let's take a look at the first half line of Super Bowl as it's posted. 2.5, you see the number there, 2.5 with Kansas City laying it. And then you see a total, Michael, of 27.5. That's exactly what I expected, the total, right around what we expected for the side as well. So Kansas City, 2.5, total 27.5. What jumps out now? 2020, Kansas City's averaging about 15.7 in the first half, and Tampa Bay's just a tick behind at 15.6 points per in the first half.
Well, you know, yeah, I think this, you know, my numbers, I have Tampa at 13.1 and Kansas City 11.6 in first half points. So maybe I'm a little different. I'll go with your numbers, but I do think in the first quarter, they both average right around 4 points the first quarter. They both get that. Now, what you're thinking there is you're going to get a touchdown, you know, so let's say you're going to get, Kansas City never gets more than 9 drives in a game. Right?
Yeah.
I have one drive in the first quarter when they played Buffalo at home. So, you know, they get 9. Say you get 4 in the first quarter. What you're saying is Kansas City's going to score 2 of those drives. They're going to score touchdowns.
Right.
You're also saying that Tampa's going to come back and score at least 2 of those 4 drives or 3 drives. Tampa's got to slow the pace down. I think they've got to slow it down. They've got to control it, unlike Buffalo, which didn't. So, you know, I might lean under there a little bit, Patrick. Ooh. I really might lean under. I think it's got to be a pace game.
Yeah, and again, I think mine bumped up a little bit because of the 21, respectively, they both scored. Remember, Kansas City scored 21 unanswered, and they're second in the conference
championship. You might have the playoffs in your number.
Yep, I do, 100%.
You probably have the playoffs.
Yeah, because
okay,
Michael,
I have the regular season.
Yeah, pardon me, because last 3, Kansas City scored 18 in the first half, and Tampa Bay scored 17.3. Yep. So I got the playoffs worked into there as well.
Yep, I understand that. And look, I just think to me it's about possessions. You think 4 possessions, 2 touchdowns, that's doable. I get Kansas City. Tampa Bay, 4 possessions. They got to play really good in the red zone.
All right, alternative action, first half line, first half total as well here on the Lombardi Line. Sprint is presented by BetMGM. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Candidates from our resume database when you upgrade your job post. Get started at Indeed.com/credit. We're gearing up for the big game here at VSiN, and of course, keeping you up to date on every other sport and betting opportunity on the board. And this week, we've updated our programming lineup, the Lombardi Line. We're going to be now 2 hours every weekday from noon to p.m. Eastern Time, and we're excited to announce the Nuts. With Mike Palm and Amal Shaw immediately following us at 2 p.m. Eastern every weekday. This weekend, you can also have and check out the big special preview show with Brent Musburger to get you ready for the Super Bowl betting prop action. You can also find our lineup at vsin.com or in your daily VSiN subscriber email. It's free. Just go enter your email address and it comes there every morning in your inbox. Make sure you check out the Nuts weekdays starting at 2 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Okay, obviously, since day one, part of the show, well, Michael was there day one since I started. Josh Applebaum's been part of the show, and he's going to continue to be part of the show, of course. Market Insights is the podcast that now dropped an hour and 35 minutes ago, Monday through Friday, vsin.com/podcast, and Josh joins us now. Hi, Josh, how are you?
Patrick, Michael, doing great here. Great to be with you. And we're 2 hours now. So, Michael, Patrick, I got PB&Js, I got orange slices, I got some Gatorade. We're going to power through the schedule here, but... we're ready here. And guys, what we saw yesterday, obviously, you know, we saw Kansas City really cover that 3 and roll and never question. But going back to that Bucs game real quick, we were doing the show yesterday. We saw a lot of those big moves coming in on Tampa. But really, that was a system with Tampa that cashed that did very well regular season and did great this postseason as well. And we'll get to the Super Bowl in a second here. But we're talking dogs with a line move in their favor. During the regular season, they were 62-42 ATS, 59%. And remember, Tampa, they were 4.5-4. 3.5, even got down to 3. Dogs with a line move in their favor this playoff season. Now 4-1 ATS. If you go back the last 4 playoffs, 15-3 ATS, 83% against the number. So That was a big play that came through with that big move, especially game day. That really gave you the confidence that big money continued to pour in. But Michael, can't wait to get your take here, because it looks like what happened is as soon as you saw this late in that game with KC, we started to get the Super Bowl line to come up. And it was really, you know, Kansas City -3.5, you know, quote unquote, a neutral site game. But really, this is a home game for Tampa Bay in Raymond James Stadium. But Michael, that 3.5 quickly got scooped. The Super Bowl line is now down to 3. Remember, these teams met week 12. Kansas City won 27-24. The hook was key. But Michael, early on here, and especially with the Super Bowl, when you see a line move at least half point in the Super Bowl, last three Super Bowls, it's 3-0 ATS. And it's 7-3 the last decade. Remember last year, line moved a little bit with the, what was it last year, with Kansas City against the San Francisco 49ers. Year before that, line moved to the Patriots against the Rams. Year before that, remember the Eagles in the Philly special. They were 6-4.5. So, Michael, do you like this early move? Would you have jumped on the 3.5, or are you liking buying low on Mahomes -3 now?
You know what I want to do is I'm going to do a 30 for 30 documentary on how those sharps knew that Matt LaFleur was going to be incompetent in the game. And how Mike, I want to know how they knew that Mike Pettine was going to call a blitz zero with a free safety in the middle of the field with the middle eight. That's what I'm going to get to the bottom of before I die on this planet. And now those sharps, how they knew that was going to happen in the game. You know, that's what I want to get to. I want to get to that because that model, I need to figure that out. I need to put that in the lab and figure out how the floor, how we do all that. A little bit of the floor, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Boom, I got it. There it is. Sharps knew it. I knew it. I should have told Thomas Gable, like, Thomas, they're in the lab. They know LaFleur is going to screw it up. They know Pettine's going to screw it up. You know, they know this. They have to know this. And that's what I'm mad at myself for not knowing that. Now, as for the line movement that you just discussed, which I have no problem discussing the line movement, I think everybody thinks Brady's hot. And it's destiny, and I think that Brady feels like, look, you know, you get that hook, it'll be a close game. It was a close game the last time they played him, even though it really wasn't a close game. I mean, this is the first time we've seen Kansas City cover in, what, 9 weeks? You know, I think the coaching matchup in this game between Brady's offense and Todd Bowles' defense versus what's going on, I think it'll be a close matchup. I do. I think it should be a great, great Super Bowl. I don't know what side to go with yet. I do think the problem with the injuries of Kansas City's offensive line is going to become bigger and stronger as the weeks go on, and I think that's why that 3.5 is a good thing to get. Now, let's get back to how they knew. That's what I want to know. I'm going to find me a sharp. I'm going to find me one. I'm going to get him, and I'm going to pin him down and ask him, how did you know this?
Josh, you're sharp. Would you like to answer the question?
So I would say sharps didn't know. You know, again, they didn't know. No one has a crystal ball. They had no idea, but they liked the value of Tampa Bay. I think that's the distinction here. And to me, remember that Seattle game when they were playing the Rams, and the Rams, same exact position, 4.5 down to 3. To me, anytime you see consistent line movement where you don't see a lot of buyback, I mean, at one point you did see Green Bay, you know, 3, 3.5. They kind of went back and forth. But really, it was that game day move coming in. And I think, Michael, maybe it just came down to a situation of, you know, as long as you were getting the hook or more with the Bucks, the value was in that spot. You know, you could argue with the -3, it was the Packers. What I'm thinking about, too, is in the playoffs, especially this time of year, the lines are so tight, the books are so good that when you see a move, it's almost more meaningful than a regular season game because, you know, again, these odds are spot on and it takes this big money to move it. So I don't think the sharps knew Brady would win, but they like the value of getting the hook or higher, which is why the line was always moving.
I didn't think the sharps thought Brady was going to win. What I admire about these sharps is the incompetence that they knew was going to be on display by LaFleur and Pettine. And I feel really seriously, and I'm saying this with all honesty, I'm mad at myself for not calculating that in. I thought Aaron Rodgers would overcome that. I thought Aaron Rodgers would overcome it. I actually really felt like LaFleur would handle the offense better. I thought he would at least give Billy Turner some help at left tackle. I thought he would do some things to protect his quarterback instead of trying to get five out and try to look like we're playing Madden in the basement. I knew Pettine had some deficiencies, but I thought their rush would be much better. But again, I think, and I'm saying this with all seriousness and candor, I think in these games, the coaching matters so much that we have to put more emphasis on it. At least I do. And I'm never going against the coaches again.
All right. I think we all made up there at the end. I think that was, and I
there's
agree.
Nothing to be mad about.
No, I know, but
there's
I agree with
mad.
You.
I want to find that sharp that knew that Pettine was going to be. I want to talk to him.
Okay, I agree. We just have to, hey, next time going into a big spot like that, we have to start subtracting with your boy LaFleur, okay? We have to understand
absolutely
that he's soft.
Absolutely.
All right. You all right, Josh? You hanging in there?
I'm good. It was the sharp in Des Moines in his basement. He knew that was going to happen.
That's my favorite sharp. That's my favorite sharp. The guy that we can't see is in Des Moines. That's my favorite guy. I'm going to Des Moines this winter. Hey, I'm going to find that guy.
As long as the knife is
Let's do a show from Des Moines.
To cut the provolone. We're good. We're coming back with Josh
let's
and the boys from the
Let's
Nuts
do a show
next.
From Des Moines.
A chance to win $100 tonight, paid for in free bets. Okay, so the code is VSIN100. If the Lakers or Cavs hit a three-pointer, bam, $100. Download the app, use the promo code VSIN100, win $100. New customer offer, paid for in free bets. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 years or older. Colorado, Iowa, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia only. Call 1-800-522-4700, Colorado, Nevada. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. In Tennessee, call or text Redline, 800-889-9789, 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. We welcome you back. It's a big day for us here at VSIN as the Nuts debuts coming up in just about 14 minutes. You know, it's cold, Michael. It's dark outside. It's raining here in Vegas. So the one thing you want to do to bring sunshine is welcome in Amal Shaw and Mike Palm. They always bring the sunshine. We say hi to the boys out at the Circa. Hey, boys.
How you doing?
Good morning, Patrick. Good morning, Michael. Good morning, Brigantine, New Jersey. Good morning, Munster, Indiana. Everyone watching, Nesson, Marquis, Peekaboo, we see you.
Amal, how are
Loving
you?
Loving the
you look
set,
sharp.
Mike.
Oh, thank you.
I love the set. Oh, my God. Wow, you guys look so good there. It's awesome. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I got a question. Are you guys both dressed in black for Matt LaFleur's funeral or for our funeral with the show coming up?
I'm excited for your funeral. I'm excited for your show. I wear black quite a bit because I got to go on a diet, so I try to slim down. But, look, you got that looks great. I mean, awesome. You could take a swim before the show, too. What a great setup you got.
It's really Michael, you're on with Mitch and Paul every Monday. I guess you're on the phone. You don't see the studio here.
Well, Paul's got a lot of paper, so it's
no,
hard
I
to
never do. I'm on the phone. I do the phone because when they call me at 8 o'clock, I'm never here in my office. So I've never seen the studio really from this. I listen, but I don't see it. So, congratulations. We're excited to have you. Thank you. You guys will do great. I can't wait to listen today.
Yeah, it's the Nuts. Now, that is a short desk, Amal. Are you doing the show from your kneecaps? What's going on there?
Yeah, and the funny thing is they asked Mike to lower his chair. I didn't even understand why on that one. But.
All right, boys. So the Nuts, all kidding aside, very excited about the debut today. Mike Palm, we'll start with you. What to expect from the Nuts?
You know, I think that Amal and I are going to focus less on handicapping and more on betting strategies, on how to make money. You know, there are many shows here break down different games, and we'll do that as well. But let's talk about how do you make money, how do you determine when to make a bet, and then once you've made the bet, how do you maximize your opportunity out of that?
Amal?
He's absolutely right. You know, perfect example, yesterday in the Green Bay game, I had the Packers 3.5, but there was opportunities in-game at 8.5. So many people may not be as well-versed with it. We'll get into it, and not just for people that are newer or novice, but people that are more sophisticated, more experienced in this area. It should be a lot of fun. But before you guys sign off on us, I've got to ask Michael one question. Matt LaFleur yesterday, I know everyone's pointing to the debacle late in the game on 4th and goal from the 9-yard line, but I thought the game was lost. On 2nd down and 18 with 34 seconds remaining in Tampa with 2 timeouts, I thought you run the ball twice there, punt, you're only down 4, get the ball to start the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think they messed up the whole middle 8, let's be real honest. And, you know, they They had no regard for it. It's like they didn't even see it coming. And you know, and then the play, the coverage that they did at the end of the first half is inexcusable. I mean, Matt LaFleur got doubled down on. I mean, I've said this at the beginning of the show. It was basically like he said, Mike Pett, you think you can do this? I got one that's going to make even worse. And it was horrible. And I just think, to me, it was as bad a coach game as you're going to find from strategy to execution in terms of what they did. That poor left tackle, Billy Turner, he got no help at all. He couldn't block in Jason Pierre-Paul to save his life. And Rodgers was never – they never got in the left-handed formation. They rarely chipped him. I mean, they're so preoccupied with getting four or five in a route that if their quarterback's not standing up, how are you going to get out of it?
Hey, before we let you go, you know, I just thought about this. As the Nuts is debuting, it's going to be Monday through Friday, 2 East, 11 West here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The mayor, Mike Palm, right there, Mike Palm Circa, Amal Shaw 1. There's only one on Twitter. Amal, I want to ask you both this question. What is a quality you admire about your host there that's going to make him a good partner and a good host? I know I'm making it awkward. I'm trying to.
I'm going to give you a real answer that a lot of times people don't see with Mike, whether it be on Twitter or in terms of just personality on air. Mike is one of, not only is he a humble guy, but more importantly, he's a person that, no, I'm being serious. You know, it's funny because a lot of times you see what people's personalities are, whether it be on air, on TV, what have you. But Mike is really, he's a thoughtful guy. He's really considerate of other people. And I think that's just such an important quality in people in general. If you can be a person who looks beyond yourself.
Great answer. Mike Palm, the same question for you about your partner.
Well, I think why Amal compliments me so well is because my time is limited. So I can't have a great depth of knowledge on all sports. And Amal can speak to the NBA. Amal can speak to college basketball. Amal can speak to tennis as well as, you know, football. I mean, obviously he has a very good knowledge of soccer as well. We share that. So Amal is a guy who doesn't have to prepare for a show, and he's already prepared.
Great answer. And you can ask him all about strip clubs in Dallas as well. He's good with that. Boys,
you know, we Patrick, we're going to struggle a little bit here. You know, we have fun on Saturdays and Sundays with you, but now, Michael, we're missing out with Patrick. Patrick's really the key to the whole thing. I mean, we're losing Louis L'Amour here. We're losing the greatest storyteller of all time. So we got a lot of ground to make up.
No doubt. No doubt. I can get you Bill Berman to come in there and help you a little bit to kind of promote the show. I'm sure he's all, you know, along with the meritorial campaign, I'm sure he's helping you promote this show as well.
There is no concern. You guys are going to kill it. I can't wait. The Nuts every day, an hour every single day with Mike Palm and Amal Shaw. I got you, Amal, with that strip club one. All right, boys. Yeah, we'll see you.
I would have waved your cover, but I know you don't leave the house.
Okay, we'll see you in 8 minutes. Enjoy the debut show. Congratulations, fellas. We look forward to it.
Thank you.
Okay, there he is. We didn't hear your little jab, Amal. I was talking over you, which I tend to do with people. That's my foible in life. Now, we welcome you back, okay? We've got Josh as well. Let's get a couple of college basketball plays in, Michael, before we get out of here, if you don't mind. Of course, excited about the boys coming up. Josh, did you want to follow up with Michael on the Super Bowl total before we get to your college play here?
Yeah, real quick, I just want to get Michael's initial thoughts here. We got 2 weeks to see how this line develops, but really early on, Michael, we saw one of the highest Super Bowl totals that we've ever seen. This total opened Chiefs and the Bucks around 57.5, and really immediately you saw some respected money come in, grab the under 57.5 with the hook. Looking across the board now, guys, this line is pretty much down to 56.5. I'm seeing some 56s out there. And what's interesting to me is that if you look at these really, really high totals in the Super Bowl, you feel like it's going to be a shootout. It's got to go over. But if you actually look since 2010, there's been five games where the Super Bowl total is 50 or more, and the under is 4-1. Remember last year, Chiefs 49ers, that was 52.5, landed 51. Before that, 13-3 Patriots, that was a 55.5. The 28-3 game, the Patriots came back, that one hit the over. But before that, Giants and Patriots, that one went under. Colts and Saints, you go back to that one went under. So, Michael, real quick, are we going to have a shootout, or do you like this trend? If you got the 57.5, are you happy if you got that under early?
I think you got to go. I think the under's got to be in play here a little bit, Josh, because I think you got to pace this game. I think Brady knows he needs to control the ball. I mean, look, he's watching the same tape I'm watching. I mean, the last time they played, it was 27-24, so that puts it under. And he knows that if his defense is out there too much, you know, that they can score at a rapid pace. I mean, they made him punt the first series of the game. They didn't punt again. You're going to give they're going to get 8 to 9 possessions, and they're going to be hard to handle. So you've got to do a good job. I think that under maybe a little bit of a reach at 56. You got to pace this game.
Okay, may I ask you a question, Pac-12, as far as college hoops, because I'm completely surprised by this line movement. I want to bet Arizona. I want to lay the 4.5, but just a few nights ago, of course, it was a 2-point game with Arizona State covering against Arizona. Arizona State is 1-6 against the spread their last 7 games. Now, this is defensively, Arizona, I'll admit, the other night was terrible. Miller's going to have them focused, concerted on defense, and the Wildcats have one of the best offenses. And, you know, KenPom's got them 17th as far as efficiency. I don't understand this line movement. Open 7, it's down to 4.5. I want to delay Arizona even at a bigger price. What the hell's going on here, Josh?
Yeah, Patrick, the sharp in Des Moines must like Arizona State tonight. Something's going on here because this game opened, you're right, Arizona State 4-7. Arizona is 11-3. Looks like it's an easy, you know, blowout cover win for Arizona here. Remember, they did just play the other day. It was an 84-82 win by Arizona, but ASU covered the 2.5. But you're right, Patrick. I mean, this line opened -7-ish around Arizona. It's now down to 4.5. Anytime I see these huge line moves, the first thing I think of is COVID going on. Is there an injury?
I've been scouring. Yeah. I've been looking nonstop for injuries, COVID, nothing.
Nothing. And it's really crazy, Patrick. So Sharps apparently like it. But the other thing, I know we're up against it. Michael, your buddy Chris Beard, coach of Texas Tech, he's going to West Virginia tonight. Two ranked teams. This is the biggest game of the night, 9 o'clock. We saw WVU open -2.5 at home. This line is now down to 1.5 or even 1. This is a kind of a classic public all over West Virginia. Bob Huggins at home. Get the lines moving to Texas Tech. Do you think your guy Beard with a sharp line move can cover or win the game with the Red Raiders?
Well, one thing I love about my man Beard is he plays defense. I mean, they give up under 60 points a game. So, you know, they're going to come in there and they're going to grit. They're 6-6 against the spread this year. They're 11-4. I mean, my man Hurricane Heart Attack Huggins, he does it. But his defense isn't as good as it typically was in the past. He's given up 68 a night. So, I like Texas Tech. If you're going to win on the road, you've got to play really good defense. And that's one thing that the Red Raiders have done is play good defense, giving up just a shade under 60 points a game. So, you know, I think that's why the sharp in Des Moines is coming in on this.
Arizona beat Arizona State. I'm sorry, I'm obsessed. 84-82 the other night. And now they're laying 4.5 at home. The Sun Devils are 1-5-1 ATS, their last 7 on the road. They stink. All right? I don't know what this is. This number is making me scared now. But anyway, I'm going to lay the 4.5, and I'm going to do it with a big smile on my face. Michael, have a great day. The Nuts is coming up next. Your thoughts on the way out.
Oh, I can't wait to listen to it. Look, like I said, this is Mike Palm's network. Amal, all of us are just enjoying it, to just take a part of it. And we're going to grab, take some information in and learn something.
There
I'm excited.
He is. There he is. Look at him. He's taking it
there
all.
He is. There
Josh
he is.
Applebaum, have a great day. The Nuts debuts next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.